Episode 28 of Welcome to Level 7, The Bridge, Season 1, Episode 10.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7. This is the unofficial podcast of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show. And I am Ben Avery. I am a fan of Marvel Comics. I'm a fan of Marvel movies. I'm a fan of Marvel TV. I guess you could just say I'm a fan of Marvel might be the easier way to go. And I am joined, as always, by
Daniel Butcher.
That's right. Who's
gigantic Disney fan, which ironically enough owns Marvel.
Means you're a Marvel fan, right?
Well, it helps.
No, if you're a Marvel fan, you're by proxy a Disney fan. Yeah.
Hey, they're at the convention. You know what else I'm a fan of, Ben?
Tell me.
I'm a fan of fantasy football.
Are you now?
You know what I am? American hero.
How's that?
I have defeated the green screen.
The Green Screen Podcast.
I did. I took them down in the playoffs.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So, let's see.
Final score, 333.4, because we're not in a chump league. We got decimal scoring. To 280.3. Well, Kobe Radcliffe went down by 50 points.
That answers that question. Which is better, Marvel or DC?
There
right?
we go. It's definitive.
Yeah, there is. We've put it to bed. 70 years of rivalry. It's all.
I think. You know, sent a message this morning and just said, "Hey, just shut it down. You've been defeated. Just shut her down." But I didn't do it because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah. Another reason why Marvel's better than DC, right? Because one of Marvel's fans is a nice guy.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm caring. And much more skilled in fantasy football than those DC folks.
Yeah. I never did find out how I went or how I.
Oh, you don't want to know.
I made it into the consolation bracket.
Everybody made it into the consolation bracket. Let's not talk about it, okay?
Last I saw, I was 2 points ahead of whoever else I was against in there.
Well, let's look here. You did win.
Did I?
You beat Ben is Right. So Ben beat Ben is Right.
Ben beat Ben. I proved that I was the rightest of the fantasy football Bens.
If only that Ben was paying attention.
I wasn't paying attention.
Well, there you go.
I went three weeks without changing my lineup again.
When you're not paying attention, you're the better Ben.
Yeah.
So next week begins the 2-week championship matchup between Welcome to Level 7 and the Midgard Manglers, my buddy Matt Anderson.
From the Sci-Fi Christian podcast.
Exactly. So yeah. So technically, by the way, I'm representing that podcast in this little bracket, this little tournament, you might say.
Technically.
But here's what I'm thinking, guys. If Matt wins, the stance that I'm going to take is, look, our side won. Congratulations, good buddy. Congratulations. But if I win, I think I should go full on just smack talk and disavow the Sci-Fi Christian completely and say it was always about Welcome to Level 7.
You could do that.
It is my team name.
I just beat one of the Sci-Fi Christian guys, Ben. I beat him, right?
Yeah. See? We're winning.
Yeah, this is how it's going to go down. So what happens? Am I going to win the consolation bracket? Or
well, Ben, what's going to happen?
Is it just over for me?
Yeah, what's going to happen at this point is sure, you've got a matchup for next week, but it's not like you're going to change your lineup, and since one of your best players just went on the IR for the rest of the year, just don't worry about it.
Yeah, but you know what? He hasn't been in my lineup for 3 weeks.
Very nice.
I apparently 3 weeks ago was able to predict that he was not going to be playing this week. He was going to be injured. I was clairvoyant.
The clairvoyant.
I was
Man.
The clairvoyant.
All right, no more fantasy football talk. And how victorious Welcome to Level 7 is, the best fantasy football podcast out there about Marvel. Let's get into this intelligence report because I want to talk about the bridge.
Yeah, so let's get some news out of the way here.
Shield Intelligence Report.
All right, Daniel, we got some things to talk about.
Here's the deal. I think you've got it all because I've had a busy little week.
I've got it all?
I think you've got it all.
Let's see. We have the contest. Should we talk about that first?
Let's do it.
Okay. We have a contest right now that you, our listeners.
Me?
No. Our listeners can win a copy of Superior Spider-Man number 22, the photo variant cover with a picture of our boy, Agent Coulson.
You've got my attention now, Ben.
Yes, that's good that I have your attention, but Daniel, you're not eligible.
Oh.
And it's very easy to win. We're going to draw names. We're going to draw names out of a hat. I actually have a hat that I use to draw names out of for podcast contests, and I also wear it occasionally. Here's the deal. This contest is for listeners, and so we're not going to say anything about this on Facebook. We're not going to say anything about this on Twitter. We're only going to say things about this in the podcast. We're announcing it this week, and we'll be giving it away next week. So your deadline for entry will be December 17th, Tuesday, 2013.
My noon Central Time.
Now, this item was given to us by our friends at the Geek This podcast, and their names are David. Both of them. They will be joining us for a few moments next week to announce the winner. Here's how you win. You need to get your name entered into the drawing. And here's how you do it. If you've already liked us on Facebook, just send us a message on Facebook and tell us you want to be entered in. See, this is where it's nice and secret, okay? Because if you are on Facebook but you're not listening to the podcast, well, you don't know to send us a message saying you want to be in the contest. You can also get another entry if you recommend a friend like us on Facebook. And so if that friend likes us on Facebook and they send us a message saying they want to be entered into the contest, they can also mention, by the way, my friend recommended that I like this, and you, being the person who recommended them, get a second entry. You can get as many as you want that way. Unfortunately, this is only for people from the United States because our friends at Geek This are also going to be shipping the comic, and so we want to keep their cost lower. But here's how this is going to work. So let's say I'm on Facebook. I've already liked
Welcome. Like I am right now.
Yeah, I've already liked Welcome to Level 7. I liked it a long time ago because, well, I started the Facebook page, and I sent a message to Welcome to Level 7 saying, "Hey, enter me in the drawing, please." I'm entered. And then I tell my friend Daniel, you should like Welcome to Level 7 because if you do, you could get entered into this contest. So Daniel, he likes our Facebook page, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. And then he sends a message saying, I would like to be entered. And my buddy Ben told me about it. Can you give him another entry? Two entries go in. So right now I've got two entries. Daniel has one. I have a 2 in 3 chance of winning. Sadly, in reality, I have a 0 in 0 chance of winning because I'm not eligible because I'm a podcast host for Welcome to Level 7. And since we've never had any other podcast hosts, literally, there are only 4 people in this world who are not eligible. That's me, that's Daniel, and that's David and David from the Geek This podcast. No, sorry. I used literally, didn't I?
You did.
Figuratively. Literally, there are only four people in the United States who are not eligible to enter this contest. Because even if you're not on Facebook, but you'd still like to enter the contest, we're with you. We are there for you. All you have to do is send us an email. You need to send us an email to feedback@welcometolevel7.com. And if you send us an email, that will count as an entry. Like I said, this is a podcast listener contest. And so if you are a listener to the podcast, you're hearing this right now, send us that email, feedback@welcomelevel7.com. But if you're on Facebook, we prefer you'd send us a message on Facebook so we can kind of keep most of it all in one place. Daniel,
It's exciting. I mean, yeah. Okay. I mean, I want it.
I know you want it, Daniel.
I want this.
I know.
I actually have eBay open right now as we talk.
Daniel, don't worry about it, man.
I'll calm down.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. We got a couple other news items to talk about, but the contest was the big one. Two new agents are going to be in episode 14 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is kind of cool, especially if one of them or both of them happen to be like from our comic book universe. It'd be cool to see them actually digging into that treasure trove that they have of character names and character ideas. So,
well, and I think the name that comes to everybody who's a big S.H.I.E.L.D. fan, I'd like to hear from Agent O'Neill on this one, is Clay Quartermain.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, you know, goes back to 1967. It's got a long history, long relationship with Nick Fury. Would be a very, very, and his name is Clay Quartermain. I mean, it sounds like Alan Quartermain if you like Indiana Jones sort of movies. But and you'll know a little bit better than me being a creator here, is this character was created by Jim Steranko. So does that mean they'd have to be paying Jim Steranko some buck?
Well, it depends on what his work for hire contract ended up being, because some creators are able to get some money out of it and some creators are not. And I don't know. I don't know what's set up there. But I do wonder, I think from what I saw of the character breakdowns, it doesn't sound like there are going to be major characters or major players in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe. But we'll see. We'll see. No, I would just like them to do more with that.
I'm only speculating because, unlike you, I prefer to remain unspoiled.
Well, I am unspoiled as far as I don't know what's going to happen in our second half of the season here, but I will say
whatever,
this.
They call you at home and tell you.
I'll say this.
Whispers it in your ears. Ben, next week there's going to be a lot of explosions.
Yeah. Well, did you watch the promo then for next
yes,
half
I did.
Of the season?
Yes, I did.
There's some. It looked pretty active. Let's put it that way.
Oh, I think answers to questions will be revealed.
I believe so too. Was there anything else on our news list?
It just, is it me or is December just been slow on news?
Let's move on.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Mission report.
All right, Daniel, so we know why they call it the bridge.
Are you talking about how Coulson is like bridging the relationships amongst the team members?
Talking about There's an actual.
Are you talking about how Coulson, because he can call Big S.H.I.E.L.D., is like connecting Little S.H.I.E.L.D. to Big S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I was talking more about the bridge that they were on. At the end.
Wow.
It was a bridge.
So there's nothing really like metaphoric about that or a simile? Is there a like in there at least?
Oh, I'm sure that there are lots of them. Like maybe someone being the bridge between Mike Peterson and his son.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone being the bridge between Reyna's phase 2 and phase 3.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's plenty of metaphorical bridges.
But
there's also one great big real solid concrete bridge.
Where things go boom, boom, conveniently enough in California.
Bridge. So, we know why it's a bridge.
Dude, where do we even start?
I know, you were having a problem with that. I have a feeling that, well, you were kind of excited about this episode.
Well, and so let's just start with there. How does this episode work for you? Were you excited about, I mean, is it one of your favorites?
Let's put it this way. I will say that this is an upswing episode as far as this is an episode on the second half of the first half of the series, of the first season. So it's in that, you know, that episode 6 to 10. all of these have been upswings for me. I've really liked what I've been seeing, and I feel like this is another one that just kind of was taking that momentum they'd built and building more on it. Is it my favorite, though? No, I don't think it's my favorite yet. I think that there's a couple other episodes that I like more than this one, but I did really enjoy it.
Can I tell you a secret?
Tell me a secret. It's not a secret anymore once you tell me.
I don't know if I liked it.
Really?
It was so fast. There was so much going on that I was trying to process everything going on in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had a chance to say, enjoying. I really do think during the hiatus, I'm going to have to watch this again. Because I like the fact that there was a lot coming out at us. A lot being connected, a lot of mythology being built, and I was excited about that, but I could never ever say to myself, I'm enjoying myself and having a good time, because I was constantly thinking. I was Googling like crazy, trying to beat Casey to some of these things that and they were all things that didn't exist.
Yep. I did that too.
It was fast and it was furious and it was coming at me like a million miles per hour. And I never the word that never hit my mind was enjoyment, because it was just there was too much going on.
I'll say it actually did hit my mind, and I tweeted about it. I tweeted that I was enjoying myself. I was very happy with this episode. I liked it. I agree. It was fast, and there was a lot of stuff happening. And when it was done, I didn't want it to be done because I felt like I hadn't sat through an hour. I felt like you know just gone by so quickly. But at the same time, I did have the commercial breaks, so I was able to decompress a little bit there. And I liked it. For all the same reasons you're saying, you know, I mean, there's a lot coming at us. There's a lot being thrown at you. There's emotional stuff happening. They're still finding time to do some of that stuff. Little character moments, character beats here and there. I think that this was a strong episode, a solid episode.
Well, and I'm not disagreeing. I just don't know if I had a chance to have a good time. That's it. I just don't know if I was having a good time.
Okay.
And I'm willing to explore it and maybe have a good time in the future.
Yeah, but this isn't like you getting out of...
I didn't hate it.
I should say this isn't like me getting out of Thor the Dark World and saying, but what about this, this, and this?
Nope.
I kind of liked it, but...
Nope. Yeah. I was spending too much time piecing together things.
Okay. So how do you want to talk about this then?
So we have two options. We can either do our very basic sort of general theme where we go through theme and plot and then some character stuff. Or we can do what we did back in the old MCU days, back in season zero. And just plow through.
In chronological order.
Yep.
What would you prefer?
Because of the way my notes are set up, let's just plow.
Okay. All right.
Gather around, children. It was lunchtime at the Heavenworth Federal Penitentiary. It was a happy time in which good food was eaten. And suddenly, three men stormed through the roof and created chaos and killed.
Yeah. Although one person was still able to continue eating his dinner. And... That was something for Edison Poe there. We saw him eating and talking about eating and people talking about him and what he did while he was eating a lot in this episode.
A lot.
This is a man who has an appetite.
And you got to think that means something.
I think that part of it is that he's able to sit and witness. I mean, you see him witnessing violence, but not stopping his meal. And it's all happening around him, and he's just going to eat. And then you hear about him killing someone with steak knives and then continuing to eat.
Do you think he used the same steak knife?
That's what they are implying.
Well, so and this is me projecting.
Okay.
So I just got done reading the third volume of All-Star Western over in The Other Guys. And Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde is in that. And Mr. Hyde eats a lot in that arc. Well, he's a cannibal. So that was one of the first things that kind of popped to my head is this guy a cannibal?
I don't think so. I don't think so. Although you do kind of get that Hannibal Lecter kind of vibe from him. He really appreciates good food. But he'll eat anything. I mean, he eats the prison food. He eats the food they serve him at that warehouse then as well.
Well, it was excellent food, but the decor was to be questioned.
Yeah, but look at what they brought in for him. They brought in that table, that chair, the table setting, and the food.
Well, and they clearly have respect for him.
I mean, yeah, and he clearly has respect for food. The other interesting thing, and I don't know how much this goes into that, but you know, when Mike Peterson is talking about his how he feels after he's used his power, you know, regularly he has to eat 4 times more than normal, but after he uses his power, he has to eat 10 times what's normal. Is Edward Poe or Edison Poe, is there something there? Does he maybe have some sort of enhanced metabolism? And so that's why, but he's eating, but he likes to eat well and likes to eat, you know, steak or whatever.
No, whatever he can get his hands on. Yeah, and, you know, and going back to the eating, see, this is why we're plowing through is because random thoughts tonight, there's so much. They're just going to be bouncing around tonight. Again, you hear that food from Michael Peterson. You see it with the three centipede soldiers. Again, I'm thinking about DC and Flash and things like Young Justice, where young Wally West is constantly eating.
Yeah. I mean, this is an idea that's been around a long time as far
yeah,
as
yeah, that when you exert power, you need to take more because you're burning energy in order to use your powers.
Heck, Lois and Clark did it. Superman ate a lot in that show.
And never gained a pound.
Of course not. He's Superman. But anyhow, yeah, so food. Edison Poe.
So he gets broken out by the good people at Centipede.
He does. And apparently, I mean, it feels like he's waiting for it, and he's not surprised by it anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, you feel like he knows when it's going to happen. And even how it's going to happen, because he doesn't want that guy sitting there.
Yep.
And he's calm, cool, collected, and extracted. And he demands respect because he will not go with them until they call him sir.
Yeah. Now, okay, so where is this coming from? Is this coming from him having a power? Is this something he's able to demand because of the clairvoyant? He is the only one who can talk to the clairvoyant. Now, because here's another random thought, you know, that kind of came out of this is she asked him to talk to the clairvoyant while he was still in prison. And then he talks to the clairvoyant outside of prison as well, but implies that he's talked to her or to him or whatever the clairvoyant is. He's talked to the clairvoyant since being in prison, but talked to the clairvoyant in prison as well.
And I feel like they implied when he walked into the car that he was coming from the clairvoyant.
Right.
And he does specifically say he, but it made you seem like he was coming from somewhere, that he had had a meeting, that he's kept the identity of this clairvoyant a secret. But again, I really do wonder, you know, we've talked about he knows these things. Is he the clairvoyant? Is at the very least, he may not be Quato from Total Recall, but at the very least, could he have dual personalities where one of the personalities is Quata? Not Quata, is clairvoyant. The clairvoyant.
Yeah. Or is it the kind of thing where he's able to reach out to the clairvoyant and
through some sort of astral form?
Astral form or even just simple telekinesis or not telekinesis.
And again, I know what you're about.
Whatever. Psychic.
I know what you're about to say, Ben. I do know what you're about to say. This S.H.I.E.L.D. doesn't believe in psychics.
Yeah. Although it gets called out, you know, you've seen Thor, you know, you've met Thor, but you don't believe in psychics.
Yeah. So it was nice to have someone speaking for us.
Right.
In this case. But Coulson, you know, it's not on the index.
Right. That's his reasoning is that there's no clairvoyance or no psychics on the index, and so
he might as well have just said trust the system.
Mm-hmm.
Because really that's what's coming off is as well, if it's not on our list, it can't exist.
Yeah.
Well, meanwhile, we have Centipede that very much believes in the clairvoyant. And to be honest, in this episode, and I think this is the second time we've even heard an episode, we hear PsyOps. Well, how do you spell PsyOps?
PsyOps is spelled PSYOPS, right?
Well, that's the first. So what do they do in PsyOps?
It's like psychic research.
What? Psychic research?
Yeah.
S.H.I.E.L.D. has a history in the comics of having a PsyOps that's not a science operations, not a psychological operations, but basically being a psychic core. But yet, they don't believe in it, but they've got something called PsyOps.
Yeah, yeah. Now, if this was tying into Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV movie, I mean, there were psychics all over in that one. But we're not talking about that this week. That's for another week.
Different time, different place.
Yeah.
But the thing is psychics have been something that have been used for decades in S.H.I.E.L.D. stories. Yet we've been continually told here on our little show that they don't exist.
And I think they've said it so many times, I'm thinking that it's one of those they've protested too much.
Well, and maybe this is in the same way that Tahiti is a magical place. It's a magical place was a kind of a big ring for us, you know, that we need to be paying attention. Maybe we need to be thinking about the fact that they've told us so many times that there is no psychic. We need to be aware of psychics.
Yeah. I think we're going to find out there's something going on there. So, and they can tie it in with some sort of scientific premise of like quantum probabilities and that kind of thing.
They could easily MCU it.
Yeah. So, okay. So I'm going to pin you down on this one last question and then we're gonna move on from the clairvoyant. What is the clairvoyant, Daniel? What do you believe?
Oh, see, here's the problem with our show. I'll say it's one thing and then they're going to flip it on me.
Maybe.
I believe at the moment that somehow Edison Poe is linked to the clairvoyant, that he's channeling him through his body one way or another. Either he is the clairvoyant or he's a split personality or he's possessed by the clairvoyant or he's carrying the clairvoyant around on his tummy. Okay. One of those things.
Okay, well, I pinned you down to one possibility out of four. That's not exactly how I was intending it, but
I just think Edison Poe is more than a spokesman for the clairvoyant.
I think Edison Poe is talking to the clairvoyant and it is someone else outside of him. And I'm going to go one step further. I believe that the clairvoyant is going to be what they use. And we're going to talk about this, obviously, quite a bit this episode. But I believe the clairvoyant is what they're going to use to find out what happened to Coulson the day after he died. And I believe that that's going to be a big, big part. The clairvoyant, we are going to see the clairvoyant one way or another in our next episode. Or if not in the next episode, it'll be whatever episode it is that deals with what happens to Coulson while he's gone. And I do believe it's someone who's not Edison Poe. He's connected to the clairvoyant, but I don't believe he is. So,
we'll see. Edison Poe, one of the names I Googled tonight with no results.
Except for articles about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
I don't even think there was any of those at this point.
So Edison Poe, the guy is a walking mugshot. He's obviously psychotic or, along the lines of a Hannibal Lecter kind of thing. Do we have much more to say about Edison Poe?
Nope.
Then let's move on. Raina is there with Edison Poe. She is kind of telling them what to do. She's kind of behind the ops that they use to bring him in. So what do you think about Raina here in this episode?
Well, Raina, we know she's the recruiter now, that Mike Peterson has a relationship with her because he's the one who recruited. We know she has resources because she was able to find Ace and find him quickly, even though Mike had his cell phone number.
Mm-hmm.
We know that she's behind at least one I-bomb.
Yeah.
Because she's the one who let that off. And we know that she's doing the work of someone beyond her, which do you think is the clairvoyant?
There's a connection there. I wonder if it's two separate entities as far as the clairvoyant and whoever Reyna is working for, and they're working together. You know, the way, you know, teaming up the way bad guys are wont to do.
We also find out that her employer has little value on her life.
Yep.
So in the same way that she killed the doctor back in Hong Kong, she knows that she is also expendable to this organization.
I'm wondering if she has an I-bomb.
I think it's a good... it is a good guess, because the reason we know that Mike doesn't have one is solely because they didn't have time to install it.
Yeah, I think... It's cool, though, because we're seeing all these things getting tied together. We do know there's a connection between Reyna, Centipede, and whoever that other group was that we were talking about in I Spy. So,
unless every bad guy in the world is using eye bombs, that's not happening.
What's her name? Not Anakin.
Amador.
It seems like she was working for Reyna's organization. With all the I-bomb things going on.
Again, bouncing around all over the place. So the three super soldiers, were they forced or did they volunteer? Because we know Amador was coerced through her I-bomb into doing the actions that she took.
I think
these three guys in the same situation?
I think that they're more like a Mike Peterson Scorch situation. I think they were brought in and were willing to do what they were asked to do. I don't know, maybe they were coerced in a similar way to Mike Peterson. You know, well, we've got your family. We'll take care of your family if you work with us. We'll destroy your family if you don't. I don't know. But.
And oh my goodness. So Mike's got how many centipedes on him?
Well, he's got the one.
And these guys have got how many centipedes on them? It's like a tattoo pattern.
It was kind of funny. It's like, he's got one. Oh, no, look, his other arm has one. And I noticed when they were doing some work with them, one guy had it on his right arm, the other guy had it on his left arm, and I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. I wonder why, you know, is it because of their dominant hand? No, they have it on both arms.
Because they just put them everywhere.
And then he stands up and starts turning. You're like, oh, it's going up. Oh, it's all, oh, okay, it's all over the place.
So I think at this point we've kind of moved into Mike and these super soldiers.
Yes.
And really, this is one of the big problem that Centipede is facing. Extremists is in the mix, and they need to find something to keep these guys from turning into a fiery hot mess, because they will just become goo and explode if they don't stabilize the serum.
Which they were able to because of Scorch's platelets.
So Centipede's got that, but the problem that Centipede has now is, sure, their guys aren't blowing up, but they're being dosed constantly in order to keep them going, right? Where our boy Mike Peterson, agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., requires no dosing at all.
Yes, and so they're looking at the picture of Mike Peterson and Phil Coulson. And this is where Edison says, there's your solution for the third stage.
And everybody said, oh, it's Mike.
Yeah, of course it's Mike, because it bonded with his cellular structure. And the night-night gun, it did its job, or whatever, you know. Was it the night? It was a night-night gun, right?
Yeah, and it's the big version of it, the sniper rifle version.
Right. And so...
And he was frozen. It froze his brain, kept him where he was at, and gave his body time to stabilize. And is the explanation that they give. So Fitzsimmons, through the night-night gun, saved him, is the explanation he gives, where we know Centipede is based on Scorch's platelets, which for some reason they didn't keep Scorch alive so that they could continually harvest his platelets like you would think smart people would.
Well, I think that they are continually harvesting the platelets. I think that they're cloning them or doing something along those lines. And I think they got now a supply of platelets that's going to do the job that needs to be done to keep them in getting the injections. But they have to keep injecting it into the person. That's the problem, is that the people themselves are not generating the platelets. They're having to have them put into them from an outside source.
Where Mike is injection-free.
Right. And so, of course, we're thinking, oh, they're talking about Mike. But no, they're talking about Coulson.
Well, I want to stop at Mike for a minute.
Okay.
I am glad they answered one of the questions that I had.
What was that?
I thought to myself when I first saw Mike and he's pushing the bulldozer, didn't they take him off that? Didn't they remove it? Nope. And then later they explained, no, they couldn't remove it.
Yeah.
So I am glad they took a moment to just say that long enough, because I think logically it would only make sense that one of the first things they would have done after this guy tried to kill people was to remove the reason why he was going a little bonkers.
Yeah, but he was stabilized. And so that's the other good thing that's come out of this, is that – because I think that the centipede thing was obviously affecting his mind in episode one pilot. And he's stabilized physically, but he's also stabilized mentally. He wants to do good. He wants to be better. What is it he says? He said, this is me trying to do better, trying to be better. And Coulson says, you know, everyone deserves a second chance, but you don't get a third. So
not this time.
Yeah. So, I liked it. You know, they show him pushing the bulldozer, asking, did I beat Captain America's time? Not even close. But that's okay. You know, Mike Peterson, not all of us can be Steve Rogers. But you and Coulson have something in common, Mike Peterson. You both look up to Steve Rogers. You look up to the man.
You both do. So to go back to you, you mentioned – so with the picture, as they're looking at the picture, Centipede is talking about the stages of their plan.
Mm-hmm.
So they've thought this through just like the MCU, and they have different phases. And apparently stage two is complete, which thanks to Scorch. And now they're moving on to stage three.
Which is Iron Man 3. That's the Iron Man 3 of their plan.
Oh,
which
man.
Is going to be unrelated to the larger plan, but still going to give some sort of closure to the current plan. Whoa. Or to part of the current plan.
Yeah, I like that movie gives closure.
It does.
But yeah, whatever.
It's character closure. Anyway,
whatever.
Continue. Sorry.
So, wow, we are a hot mess. So we see, and Poe makes the comment that there's the key to stage three. But in earlier, when talking about the stage three and the catalyst for who stage three was going to be moving forward. The thing that Poe makes mention to is he didn't know his name, so you knew it was a person that was needed for stage three. And he also didn't know his weaknesses.
Yeah.
Which I found interesting. Like, those weaknesses were either going to allow them to manipulate or control him. Whoever this him that they didn't know was. Then they see the picture and they know who the him is. We as the viewer, we all think it's Peterson because he's the superhero in the picture.
He is one of the superheroes in the picture.
Absolutely. I misspoke, sir. Yeah. I misspoke.
Well, but that's the thing is we're not expecting him to be considered something important, something vital, you know. And so in this way anyway, something that they would build a plan on. So the turnaround at the end is a big turnaround that I was not expecting, and I imagine there are lots of viewers out there smarter than I was who did expect it, but not this guy. I did not expect
it. I also was shocked. It threw me for a loop.
Yeah.
You know what threw me for a loop, Ben?
What?
The fact that when you watch Coulson drive Lola, which finally got off the bus, okay, through the Ohio streets, that Coulson was moving that steering wheel quite a bit for someone who was driving in a straight line.
I know. And I'm watching and I'm – here's the thing. You know, we've had viewers or listeners rather leave us messages about Austin and Portland and you know, setting us straight about things like the streets in Austin, the traffic in Austin. And there's no Philharmonic in Portland, you know, but there is a symphony, I guess. But – you know, I used to live in Ohio, and I'll tell you, Daniel,
curves, right?
That's the way you drive in a straight line in Ohio. Is okay. You just keep moving the steering wheel from left to right, And it just kind of course corrects itself. You know, it just, the roads are all wibbly wobbly. And actually, no, that's not the way it is. That's more Michigan than Ohio. But seriously, I was watching it and I just couldn't. I was trying to decide, do we even bring this up?
Well, as I'm sitting there, I at first thought to myself, you know, California, there you are again. Now you're pretending to be Ohio. And then after a few seconds of it, I wanted to get up and yell and say, you're not even out of the studio.
To their credit, that might have actually been an Ohio street somewhere, Cleveland Street. But it was nice to, you know.
Rewind it and my wife was kind of doing some window shopping on Amazon during tonight's episode, hopefully for me. And I did make her watch this and say, does this seem strange to you? Because that wheel was all over.
Yeah. But
out of all the comic book cliches that we could have had, this is the thing that my fandom of Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. breaks down on.
Now, this is not a comic cliche. This is a television cliche.
I know, but
I mean, you used to watch Dukes of Hazzard. You used to watch all these shows where they're like driving against a, you know, backdrop screen and rear projection.
Well, they definitely gave us the illusion of driving.
Yeah. Well, maybe he was flying. It's possible they were not actually on the road. And so, okay. Can I bring something else up about this situation here that we're talking about, Daniel?
Okay.
You know, Superman has Metropolis. Green Lantern has Coast City. Flash has
Central City?
Central City, yeah, yeah. Spider-Man, all those guys, they're mainly in New York. And then you have the West Coast guys. Ghost Rider for a while was stationed there. And then you have Cleveland, Daniel. Cleveland. Do you know whose base of operations, so to speak, is Cleveland? Cleveland, Ohio. Do you know, Daniel?
Great Lakes Avengers.
Nope.
Then I don't know, Ben.
Yes, you do. Even if you don't know that you know. Because you've been doing some reading about him lately, Daniel.
Oh, my Lord, the Duck.
The Duck. Howard the Duck's base of operations is Cleveland. And so for them to go to Cleveland made my heart sing. So they're in Cleveland. My heart is singing because Howard the Duck, I used to live in Ohio, sing, sing, sing. And then my heart starts to sing even more because they're not only going to Cleveland, they're driving Lola. Lola got out of the plane. Possibly they flew Lola, but it's possible that they landed the plane and then just drove off. And then they're sitting in Lola in Cleveland, Ohio, and they're talking about a cellist from Portland. And the romantic in me.
Well, we find out that Coulson's a romantic.
Well, we already knew Coulson was romantic. We know Coulson is a romantic. We know that Coulson is he's a sentimental guy, you know, from all the things that he's keeping in his office and stuff like that. When he gets to blow up the watch, your heart broke with him as his watch was just – they only made 20, right? But here's the thing. This conversation about the cellist also brings up some very interesting details about Coulson and his relationship – to the Avengers and the situation with the Avengers where they believed he was dead. He couldn't go and speak to the cellist because he had to keep up appearances that he was dead. So where does that leave him now? That's what I want to know. I mean, we're slowly getting some answers. I was expecting him to say, this could have been the time. This could have been the place for him to say, you know, now the Avengers know what happened. And they weren't happy at first, but they understand. Never went there. He never said it. So he makes it seem like
even though he's out walking around and tons of S.H.I.E.L.D. agents that are obviously not level 7
right.
have seen him and I mean, there's got to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. rumor mill that's just rampant with, hey, did you hear
Hey, if there's the rumor mill about the cavalry.
There's got to be. Exactly. But yet it definitely makes it seem like Coulson is still keeping it from them that he is, in fact, no longer dead.
Yeah. And you know, you had Ward's line. Oh, she wasn't level 7. It's just kind of, well, dude, neither is Skye. I don't know about Fitz and Simmons. We never actually have heard what their level is. And we know that May is, you know, at least level 7. But I would really like this to be addressed, though. They're going to have to figure out something and say something out loud to us as the viewers about why he's able to walk around just in broad daylight. But
in front of tons of coworkers
and lots of cell phones.
Come on, the guy who loads the bus is not level 7.
Oh, that dude with the helmet on in the pilot who gets told don't touch Lola, he's not level 7. That guy's two. He's level 2.
The guy he works for might be level 7.
So, yeah, I mean, this is kind of the whole show is based on the premise that Coulson was dead and now he's alive and he puts together this team. And so something's going to have to be addressed. And I don't know where or when. We actually do have some feedback actually asking about some of this. But I'm just saying. So
to get this show back on track, we do see compassionate Coulson again. Caring Coulson. The man with good advice. And so what I'm going to ask you, Ben, is do you feel like he was telling Mike Peterson, don't join the team?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to that conversation. He's set the stage for us by saying, here, I have to leave her behind. You know, I can't choose. I'm leaving her behind because I have to keep up the ruse that I'm dead. And he says, you got to choose this life or the life that has holiday family dinners, PTA meetings, and piano recitals. And you wonder, okay, is this one of those kind of things where he doesn't regret this necessarily, but he understands what he's turned down. He's turned down a normal life. He's turned down a life with, you know, settling down with someone he loves and building a family and building friendships, you know, around the barbecue instead of around the gun cleaning table or whatever.
Well, and I do feel like he's pushing Mike towards understanding. Mike, this is not a choice you want to make because you have someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you being gone from him is going to create damage if you're not there for your son. And you need to fix your relationship with your son. And you can't do that here on the bus.
Right. So, he's building a bridge between him and his son, between Mike Peterson and his son. I mean, it's...
And so I felt like, hey, we're back to the firehouse. Which is ironic because also in this episode, I was like, hey... So that's the Coulson who gave May the grow-up advice because he didn't knock on Skye's door when he knew she was upset.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I mean, Skye's being faced with the same challenge. Yes, she doesn't have a family, but she wants a family. She's trying to find a family. In many ways, she's trying to use S.H.I.E.L.D. to get her to the point where she has holidays and Christmas dinners. Which, by the way, shouldn't Simmons be having some of those? Because she's got a family. I mean, you got to let the girl off sometime. But you know, she's got to make the choices. Is it about this life and helping others, or is it about finding these secrets about myself? What are the more important things?
Yeah, Skye has a choice between the family that's being built around her right now or the family that she is hoping to discover. And, I mean, I like what they were doing with Skye in this episode, too. I don't know. What do you think about Skye's emotional breakdown? What do you think about Skye's her constant obsession with finding this family?
Well, I mean, I think I understand it. I mean, she wants connection. She's never had connection before this team. So I get it. She wants to be part of something bigger than herself. And in many ways, you know, May's words are harsh and hurtful, clearly. But at the same time, if she chooses May's way of, you know, making the mission the priority, it's not just the mission, it's the team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even May has shown that in her choices, that it's about the team. Yeah, she gets the job done. She gets the mission done, but she makes it a priority of bringing her team home because that is, for May, her family.
Yeah. Yeah, and, okay, so May's speaking truth, not necessarily speaking truth in love, but... And she's not lying to Skye the way that Coulson would like her to.
Well, and I almost thought that she was going to spill the beans. Because she does, we know from the conversations that Coulson and May have had that they're hiding the truth from her. That it's probably not this Catherine Shea or any other female agent that she's looking into right at the moment. It's not those things that she's going to be able to get too easily, why she still got her magic anti-Google band on.
Internet nanny. Yeah.
Yeah. And Coulson is keeping May updated on, you know, where we're at, and the fact that we can't let her know is reinforced again. But again, I was waiting for May to just say, well, and she did. She said, Coulson doesn't want you to know the truth.
Right.
And then I think she said something along the lines of, the truth is, and then I was waiting for her to say, the truth is your mom is.
For a split second, I thought she was going to say it, and then she didn't, and they got interrupted. And
the truth is, you're a clone.
It was just long enough for me, between when she says the truth is and they get interrupted, I wasn't able to put together my mind, oh, yeah, of course she's not going to say it yet. She can't say it yet because we still have another half of the season to go.
Maybe on January 7th. I mean, whew. That trailer looked interesting.
It did. And January 7th is not far away. I was expecting the hiatus to be longer. I'm glad it's not. All right. So where are we going next here?
Well, the thing is we weren't going to do topical. And we've kind of become topical.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
I know. It's what we prefer. So let's talk about May a little bit more. May's never happy.
Wow, is she not happy in this episode?
She doesn't like any plan. And as somebody at one point says, well, if you did like it, you wouldn't be you. I mean, she is the contrary voice to everything.
I don't think she's the contrary voice to everything normally. I think normally she's the voice of reason to say, here's the problem with this plan. And that's good tactics to be able to recognize the problem with the plan. What we have here in this episode, though, is... Okay, last episode, what was the last thing we saw? Literally the last thing we saw last episode.
Smiling.
May, smiling, yeah. Did we see her smile once in this episode?
No,
she scowled.
If she smiled, it was when she was beating up Ward.
She's got a lot going on.
That is a weird relationship. I'm just saying. I mean, there's a lot of anger and tension in that.
Yes.
But anyway.
Well, no, but this is part of what I'm saying, though, Daniel. What you bring up a good point, and that's that with May right now, her boat is upset. She was able to, for a long while, cut herself off from people who meant anything to her. You know, Coulson was not a part of her life. She was down in the paperwork dungeon. Now, she is in some sort of relationship with a coworker. That she, you know, she's trying to figure out the ground rules for, and she's trying to make sure he understands the ground rules, and he then kind of flips the plot on her a little bit. She does care about Fitz and Simmons and May.
And Skye.
I meant Skye, not May. She does care about them, and I wonder how much she doesn't want to care about them because they're being put into dangerous situations. And she could lose them in those situations.
The ironic thing to me when you talk about that and the fact that, you know, she doesn't like everything. She's always angry and she does what needs to be done. I felt like the reason she changed the truth is to you're an LMD to instead going the truth is you need to decide if you're about the mission or you're here for your personal priorities. I almost felt like there was a little pause in there that was based on compassion and caring that the she was, you know, I'm going to just blurt this out, but it's really bad and it's going to hurt her.
No, I think it was all tactical. I think that she was planning to say something about the truth and she changed tactics. You know, this was a course correction. She's no, not going to go there. And because I think that's the way I'm seeing her right now is, you know, things are tactical for her because that's what she is. She's a soldier and she's a very good soldier. And she's being put in a situation where logic and tactics aren't going to win everything.
And I do think that it's uncomfortable to care about them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think you go to the end and we have Coulson after the big boom boom disappearing. And May at this point is in charge of the team because Coulson is now out of comms and May has taken over. And she's called into Big Shield. But the look on her face to me was of concern and maybe a little fear because this situation was outside of her control. And let's be honest, Coulson is probably her best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like she has friends. And the two of them have a history and they know each other and they've worked together. And out of everyone on that team, he's probably the one who is the most damaging for her to lose.
Yes. And oh, go ahead.
Yeah, she did not look like an agent in control at the end to me. She looked like an agent who was a little scared, a little worried.
Okay. To me, she looked like an agent who was in rage. I saw anger. That's what I saw on her face. And I don't know, you know, we're recording very close to actually the airing of the episode. I can't go back and rewatch things after I watch them on my old tube TV. But what I was seeing was anger. And, you know, they have just taken him. Now, that was after the explosions. I think it was what's going on. Did I just lose him? But then she sees the helicopter and she's like, those people are going
to
pay.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with the explosions.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give it to you. With the explosions, it was a little fearful, a little out of control. Yeah. With the helicopter, that's a switch.
Yeah.
Oh. Because now she realizes he's gone in the sense of someone's taken him.
But he's not dead. Gone. Yeah. She can still get him. He's still able to be rescued.
I would say with the second explosion, no. Yeah, with the second explosion, the car, it was I am fearful because my friend is gone. With the helicopter, it's I am mad.
Yeah.
Because you've taken him away.
Yeah. You will pay.
Let's talk about Ross and Rachel real quick.
Okay, yeah.
So we know Ben is right. Ben is correct. Ben is accurate. Which one do you prefer?
I don't care. Ben is right is someone else's catchphrase, and
let's go with Ben is accurate.
Okay.
So it
how about
has been
Ben made an accurate statement?
Ben made an accurate statement.
Yeah, that'll work. Okay.
May and Ward have an ongoing physical relationship.
Yeah, and it's a work relationship, man. Yeah.
We can't do it here. We can't do it. You know.
And it's still going on.
It's still going on. Ward makes the chuckles about the fact that, you know, I've shown that I can work together with people more than once,
mm-hmm.
which is hinting at their physical relationship. This is, the third episode we've seen this dynamic?
Yes.
I was probably a little bit more okay with it today than I was 3 weeks ago. And nobody in my house screamed bloody murder that he was with the wrong girl. And it felt more natural to me today, but it's not feeling natural to May, I don't think.
It's not. And as a result, I think Ward was feeling a little too natural with it.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, he's like, yeah, we can do this. We can talk about this where she's definitely not.
We can practice sparring and end up on the floor together and, you know, one thing leads to another. Oh, wait, Coulson's standing right up there.
We're in public.
Let's be careful.
Let's be cool.
Yeah. I wrote a note. How much did Coulson see?
Well, and part of my question isn't how much did Coulson see? How much did Skye hear? because we also hear the conversation. We also have the conversation after the the super soldier battle where May basically accuses Ward of taking a punch to protect her and how she doesn't need it. And he gives the
and he lies and tells her, I can separate.
Okay, so you agree that he lied. Yeah. You know, I can separate church and state. It's better tactically because you're moving faster for me to take the punch. But again, the work relationship for Ross and Rachel, it's carrying over into not just their spare time, but it's also carrying over to their work time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of gives another layer to what May said when she's talking to Coulson and they're bringing Mike Richardson or Mike Peterson on. And she says, this is a mistake. And then he says, you need to lie, by the way, to Skye. She's going to come and talk to you, lie to her. And she says, one mistake at a time. And I'm thinking that May is actually dealing with three mistakes here or thinking, you know, thinking through these things as what, you know, is this thing with Ward? Is this a mistake? I thought it was done last episode. I thought when she shut him down, again, you know, they were talking last episode and she's just not having any of it. You know, don't even speak about this. I thought that that was it. That was them being done. I was wrong. You know, there's still something happening there.
What do you think the pillow talk is like?
I don't.
Now, do you like the Beretta? Do you go with that? Do you prefer a shoulder holster or a hip holster?
Yeah, I don't know. Do you think psychics really exist? Because they're not on the index.
Trust the system.
So anyway,
as at cuddling, trust the system, baby. A lot of stuff going on with me tonight.
For someone it's emotional stuff, but I wish some of it was a little more positive. That's the only thing. Because I just felt like she had a scowl on her face the entire episode.
It's because she had a scowl on her face the entire episode.
Oh, that would explain it.
It wasn't hard to come to that conclusion. Since we talked about May, let's talk about her boy toy, Agent Ward. Do we have anything else to add about him?
Not really. I mean, this was a good episode for him just in general, but not really. He didn't have any real standout moments to me.
I mean, he's active. He's deployed. He holds his own. But a lot of the stuff character-wise is coming through his interactions with May, remarkably enough. When the first 3 to 5 episodes, it was all coming with interactions from Skye.
You know, and he was relaxed when he was talking to Coulson while they were driving Lola. I mean, he's more relaxed as a character. You know, last week we saw him playing Scrabble with the team. And this week he's still got a pretty relaxed relationship going on with everybody.
Now, let's talk about the end. And we'll talk about the end some more when we end. Did he get shot?
Yeah, he did. And what was cool about that to me was he's taking that position up there. And I'm thinking, don't they tactically, aren't they saying, you know, we've chosen this spot, so we know everything. You know, we know where everything would be. That spot up there is going to be a good place for a sniper. And so then when that helicopter swipes by and they take a shot at him, and I believe they caught him, maybe in the shoulder, you know, some non-vital place. But, they got him. And I was thinking, yes, they did know he was there. They knew he was there the whole time. And when they flew by, they shot him.
Well, one of the first things I thought when I saw he was even in a sniper position is, if we got a sniper, they got to have a sniper. So, I mean, somebody clearly had to recon the situation to know that this – I mean, let's be honest. It's not like our team was doing the best job at hiding their intentions as they're swabbing him on the bridge.
Yeah, that was a problem too. I mean, they didn't even do it in the van.
No.
Now, it's easier to film it, you know, from a director's perspective. Yeah, we need to bring him out so we can actually film this thing going on. But there was some problems with the team's work there in that situation. I mean, obviously this was going to be a trap, but it was very important. They had to do this. They had to get that kid out of there. And so they had to play by Centipede's terms, Raina's terms.
So is one of our cliffhanger items Ward's gunshot?
I think it is, but not a very important one.
Okay.
I mean, I think that they got him. but it's not going to be so much. And think about this, maybe. Was some of May's anger? I can't remember. Did we see her before or after they took that pot shot at Ward?
I think we see her before.
Okay. Because.
But I'm sure she separates church and state, so it's not an issue for her.
Well, I'm wondering if maybe it was, and maybe.
I'm kidding. I think she's emotionally attached to all of them.
So here's. It's a mini cliffhanger. It really doesn't. We don't have anything to worry about with Ward. Honestly, the thing that we have to worry, we don't have anything to worry about with Coulson either. I believe Coulson's going to be with us end of the season. It's quite possible that they could pull the rug out from under our feet and go ahead and kill off Coulson, which would be a bold thing to do. Here's the big cliffhanger about I don't know which way it's going to swing is Mike Peterson.
Yeah, because, again, you're jumping to the end of the episode. I mean, we get two explosions. One explosion is the two tanker trucks. Mm-hmm. And Mike Peterson is in between those trucks. And then the secondary explosion is the car where we think Coulson is, which we knew Coulson wasn't there.
Right. Yeah.
We knew he's not going to die that way because we need to figure out what they even wanted him for. So story-wise, it doesn't do us any good for Reyna's boss to blow Coulson up because stage three will never be gotten to if you do.
Right. Well, and they take us right to that end. That post-commercial scene, post-commercial pre-credit scene with Coulson. We see him alive. You know, we know he's going to be back on January 7th. Mike Peterson, we don't.
And yeah, I almost, you know, do we need to start doing like a little moment of silence or do we need to have a drop-in for when some of these agents pass away? I mean, heroes pass away. And especially with Mike, I felt bad for Mike and I'm worried about Ace. Because he's reconnecting with his dad, and his dad's taken away from him right in front of his eyes, right when he's reconnected.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, he's the one that he quite possibly could be done. And could be one of those, you know, we're going to do this to show you that anyone could go at any time. And, of course, we've already seen that, though. Mike Peterson is one of the only guest stars who hasn't died. You know, I thought he was going to survive a little longer, but
well, as Mike said, it seems like there's this trend of you helping all these people, and what they didn't tell Mike is, and then they die.
Right, right. There's a reason why you're the only guy with superpowers at the training station right now. Everyone else, we've kind of had a little problem with.
So. You're the only one.
But yeah, okay. So what else? What did we miss then?
We missed Fitzsimmons.
Okay, Simmons obviously taken by Mike Peterson's physique.
You had to chuckle a little bit when Fitz made his little jealousy comment about how we have tools for that, and you didn't have to do it manually.
Yeah.
That's really the big story here is the jealousy level for Fitz because of the fact that Simmons is a little crushy on Mike and the fact that their synchronized talking failed.
It was off sync. Yeah. But I'll say this though, I still contend just friends, tight bond of friendship. I had friends who were girls that I kind of get a little jealous when I'd see, oh, she's got a boyfriend now, you know.
You had to have loved that line though when she says, "When did you stop talking?"
Yeah, a little one. They had some good moments there. I mean, this episode obviously wasn't for them, but they had some moments, and they got to take the credit for, you know, saving his life, and that was nice. And then there's another Simmons thing where she was just like this excited scientist. Where did I put that note here? Oh, yeah. She was excited about the science of what they had done, where they had stabilized the centipede thing. And so they were able to she's like, oh, I wonder how they did it. It looks like they've gotten this and it's working. And Fitz is just kind of you don't have to be so happy about it because obviously she's talking about the bad guys have figured out the science, but she's excited about the pure science and not the application of the science. Which, again, everything with Fitz and Simmons works for me. And when I go back and rewatch this season again, I'm just going to remember these are some immature people. They're immature because they've not had a chance to develop socially because they've been so worried about developing scientifically. And so, yeah, they're doing these pranks. And, yeah, they're getting distracted by the science of things and not by the reality. I like Fitz and Simmons. And I like them more and more every episode. I'd like to know more about them. What about you?
Well, I think I was happy with it. I was pleased with their development. I mean, I feel like I knew enough about them in this episode for their moments to pay off, even though it's like the beginning of the season before the carousel of character, where they weren't getting a ton of scenes. They were a little bit more in the background, but it was easier to be pleased with what they were doing because you knew them.
Yeah. Fitz and Simmons, I'm happy with them. This is the one groaner. They did the "he's standing right behind me" gag. I hate that gag.
You would have written it in.
Me?
And then thrown it out.
No. I just it was a groaner. It was a groaner. That and Coulson's driving are the only two dings that I can even possibly really
clearly
give this
we
episode.
Hated this episode.
Yeah, I clearly hated it because of these two things. And I'm giving up on the show. I'm going to just watch it so I can hate it more.
Based on podcasts that I listen to, we probably should.
What, give up on the show? All right. Oh, you're listening to some negative stuff, though. You're listening to the guys who, they're not fans of this show.
No, they're DC guys. Yeah. So they want us to fail.
Yeah.
They want us to fail.
Well, and there was that other one you were telling me about, too, where they hadn't even watched the show, but they were hating on it. So
Star Wars. Star Wars podcast. All of a sudden there, and I know some of our listeners listen to that show, too, and all of a sudden they start talking about Agent Coulson. Like, who's that guy?
All right.
I mean, again, here's my kind of last thoughts on this episode.
Okay. And then we'll move on to our feedback.
This is probably the first one in a long time where I felt like I have to go back and watch it again. And I can guarantee you that before January 7th, I will watch this again to get ready. And I'm going to watch it without a notebook and without trying to analyze in my mind. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and take it in.
Yeah. I'm planning on watching the all 10 episodes again, but yeah, I'm looking forward to watching him again and bringing myself back up to this point in the series. So, but we also have other plans of things we're going to be watching and talking about during the hiatus. So
we're not going to be off the air.
Oh no. We're going to keep our regular schedule and we are going to be doing an episode about the Netflix deal with, kind of doing an introduction to who these characters are, why we think these characters would work together, the kind of background of the Defenders and the Heroes for Hire concept. I'm going to do some reading, some back issues reading about kind of the history of the Defenders. There's a couple articles in a book. It's actually a magazine called Back Issues, but I bought it specifically because it had an article about Defenders, and this is before we were doing the podcast, but this is before this was even going to be a thing on the screen. So I'm just interested in quirky 70s comics. And we're going to be doing a special Christmas episode that will be us. Basically, it's going to be Agent Ben and Agent Daniel versus Agent Hoff. So I'm excited about that.
Versus?
Yeah.
We're
taking them on, man.
It's glorious.
Yeah, we're taking them on. You know, it's that friendly sparring that you do down in the
Top of my head, have one complaint about that entire presentation.
What?
Everything else is completely plausible.
Okay. Well, no, we'll talk about that later. But Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., starring David Hasselhoff, is going to be one of our hiatus episodes. And there's also going to be a bonus episode in there that's a crossover with some other Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcasts. So that'll be fun. And we're making plans. for a super secret special episode that I can tell you the running time right now, Daniel, of that super secret episode. This is going to be our only clue to you what the super secret episode is going to be. It is going to be at least 1 hour and 51 minutes. There might be a couple minutes at the beginning, a couple minutes at the end. But friends, I am so excited about the super secret episode. I cannot hide it. The excitement, I mean. I can hide the topic, but not the excitement. Wow, I feel like we just wrapped up the episode and we haven't done our feedback yet.
I know.
All right, well, should we move on, or is there anything else to say about this episode?
No, I'm good. Again, my final words, I look forward to watching it again without a notebook, sitting back, relaxing, not trying to obsess about Googling and remember Casey is there if I need him. They'll find those things that I – because, again, everything that I was like, I need to Google that, none of it. None of it.
Yeah, none of the names that I – yeah. I Googled the prison. I Googled the people. Didn't catch anything. So, all right. Let's move on then to our feedback segment.
Shield Field Report.
Dude. Listener feedback. This is not listener feedback. This is Welcome to Level 7.
Okay.
This is a field report. No. Yes, this is a field report. You're the one who came up with these names.
Yeah, I'm just saying I was using the generic term. I wasn't using the specific name. It's like saying I'm here with a fellow Marvel fan. I'm not saying Daniel because you're a
Go ahead.
Sure. Okay. We're going to start with a big thank you to someone who left us a review on iTunes. We love getting them because they make us feel good. We love getting them because it does give us feedback on what we're doing. And we love getting them because it helps out with some of the rankings and stuff when people do searches. But Lumberjack Nick, we do want to say thank you to you for leaving your review. And it was nice of you. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And there's part of me that thinks with a name like Lumberjack Nick, there is enough. People are probably thanking you wherever you go because that name is just awesome.
We do also want to thank and say hi to. I hope I say this wrong, or I hope I say this right. Rather, when I was a teacher, my biggest fear was first day of school because it meant I had to say people's names that I knew I was going to butcher the name. I knew I was going to say that name wrong, first name, last name. It didn't matter. I said it wrong. It just I felt bad, but I believe his name is Raphael, but he's the name that's listed on the message was Raph, I think is how we're gonna say it. So we're gonna say thank you to you for sending us that message, and I've gotten back to him. He's a comic book writer though, and so that's kind of cool. We kind of got that connection with him. And the other person that we wanted to say hi to, for they left us a message on Facebook, and that's Scott. So Scott, hi, thanks for sending us a message and appreciate you coming and listening. We don't have a lot of feedback. I mean, there's been some weird stuff going on with our episodes lately, so.
Well, and to be honest, we were delayed, so we even had some feedback about the last episode.
Yeah.
When we recorded. So, yeah, I mean, it's not a lot, but again, this community of fellow Agents fans, I mean, we're active and we've even got some new voices tonight.
Yeah. So let's start with, well, who do you want to start with? Because you had a couple you wanted to read yourself.
Well, let's do the heavy one.
Okay, what's the heavy one?
The one on Facebook.
Okay, let me get that.
From Debbie.
From Debbie.
Because I do think there's, you know, it's more than just, her question and comment is more than us saying, in issue 5 of Secret Avengers, they clear this all up. Yeah. It's one that, you know.
This is when they introduced the Triskelioskimoskopy.
Yeah. Well, in the Ultimate Universe, they removed all sexual relations. Yeah, we need to. This is one.
Okay,
that,
so
know,
this
I
is from
some parents are concerned with.
This is from Debbie, and she's a friend of mine. I've known her since I was in college, and she writes and says, "I just wanted to comment on what we see as Shield's search for its niche audience. Our kids have seen Avengers and Thor, and we felt that the Shield would be something they could watch with us. A combined special treat of a later bedtime and a cool show, but the last few shows have made us decide to watch it later on Hulu so we can pre-screen whether we want the kids to see episodes because of the pre- and post-bedroom scenes that occurred in Girl in the Flower Dress and Repairs. Or maybe not let them watch at all. So are they trying to make it more edgy and more adult with sexual tension? If so, they need to take a page from other shows and let that tension simmer and let us care about what the characters are doing in their free time. And they need to make the rest of the show more edgy. It's as if they don't know who they want to watch their show. I know they just lost our demographic. And, you know, she and I talked a little bit back and forth on Facebook, though. But, you know, she does bring up a good point, and that is, you know, for an 8 o'clock show, I don't think this is a family show.
And you made me laugh earlier because when we were talking about our dream Tuesday nights, you actually moved Agents to what would be 8 o'clock here in my time zone.
Yeah, yeah.
And put Star Wars at 7, which would be the quote-unquote family hour. So already in your mind, you could see a situation in which this is not a show that's played at quote unquote 7 my time.
I think it's going to be moved from that family hour, the quote unquote family hour for next season. I might be wrong about that, but honestly, when I first heard that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was going to be debuting, I expected it to be in the 9 o'clock slot or even possibly in the 10 o'clock slot. I'm glad it's earlier so we can podcast about it earlier. But
I will say, as far as the demographic, I mean, Disney's made it very clear in the past that the reason that they acquired Marvel is because they saw Marvel as family entertainment. And them being a family entertainment, you know, Disney is a family entertainment business. Marvel is a family entertainment property. They saw it as something that they could use to reach out to families and, to be honest, especially boys. Because mm-hmm. when people think Disney, they think princesses. Though Frozen is absolutely fantastic and has plenty for boys. I really do think with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, when you talk about the demographic trying to get, maybe it is a little bit of a shotgun approach and not understanding what they need to do to catch families, because I think they want to catch families and they want to catch single guys between, you know, and married guys and older guys. I mean, and older women and younger women and teenagers. They want to get everybody.
But this is what happens when you let the show develop itself and kind of spread its wings and figure out where it's going to go. I see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of filling in that corner of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, kind of heading toward the corner with Iron Man, where you have more of that edginess and more of the grittier violence and the sexual innuendo and that kind of thing, as opposed to going into the kind of the Captain America corner. Although who knows what the Captain America corner is going to be like after Winter Soldier. Or the Thor corner, where it's all fantasy violence and high romance, you know? And so I don't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as being a family show. I see it as being that kind of PG-13 type of thing where, you know, you're not going to sit down and watch it with your little guys because they're going to want to know questions about, well, why does it matter that there's two women that that Rhodey wants to be with, you know?
I do think Debbie and her husband have done the quote-unquote responsible thing here. They know their kids.
Yes, and that's the other big thing.
So since they know their kids and how their kids are going to handle things and how what sort of questions their kids are going to have, they've chosen to pre-screen it. Here in my house, because I know my kids, I still watch it with both of my kids in the room. Now, one of them, I know what that child's going to do and what he does during Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there's not enough action for him like you would see in a Thor movie or Iron Man. Generally, that child's playing with an iPod the whole time, even though he's in the room. Of course, his mother was doing the same thing tonight. And then the older one, we have had to pause and have some conversations about expectations of behavior. But I'll be honest, in my world, I'm just trying to keep sixth grade boys away because they are the bane of my existence right at the moment.
So, because you have a sixth grade girl.
Yeah, sixth grade boys. They're evil.
Yeah, I have a sixth grade boy.
So you know, he's probably trying to take over.
I was a sixth grade boy. So I also know.
Yeah, no, so you know.
And for my family, you know, it just comes down to we just don't let the kids watch it. You know, that's what I know. I know what my kids like. I know what my kids don't like. And I know what my kids can and can't handle and when they're going to, you know, and I get to choose that being the dad. And my kids just don't care. You know, they're just, okay, whatever. Yeah, I mean, it all comes down to knowing your kids. And
But I will agree, you know, again, Disney show, family entertainment. I was very, very surprised how quickly we began the Friends storyline.
I'll admit, too, that was surprising. Just from a story perspective, it was surprising. Now, three episodes in, it's a part of the story. It's a part of the character development. And here we are.
Yeah, because, again, it felt more natural today. We also didn't have them having encounters in hotel rooms.
Right. But you did have, like you said, Sky. How much does she know? What did she hear? Because Sky is supposed to be the one.
Right? Poor Sky. I feel like John Wilkerson right now should be writing Sky a letter to encourage her and to tell her to cheer up, Charlie, because Sky is so sad and only John Wilkerson can bring her out of it.
I don't know. All right, what do you want to do next?
Let's jump over to our emails.
All right. And we got one from Agent O'Neill. Would you care to take that one, or do you want to? Yeah. Why don't you just go ahead and do that?
I would love to take that one, except I don't have that one.
Okay. I'll take that one then. Agent O'Neill says, "Hey, guys, just wanted to send you an email about repairs. I definitely think this is your best podcast episode to date. Just a quick comment on your discussion. I'm pretty happy with how the show handled Sky as, at least, an agnostic. Too often on TV shows and movies, when it's called out that someone is a non-believer, they're just made out to be intolerant of people who do believe. It's difficult to handle any kind of religious discussion on a show like this. But I'm happy that it was Sky who basically said, if you truly believe, then at least believe in something worthwhile. Anyway, only one other comment. I love that Fitzsimmons are made out like children in this episode, as you discussed, but specifically I really liked the little throwaway gag that was in there. When Fitzsimmons are deciding they're going to prank Sky, probably their most childlike moment, Fitz tells the S.H.I.E.L.D. agent they're done and ready to go. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agent responds with, yes, sir. It's throwaway, but shows a good juxtaposition between the fact that they're young and the respect that their position affords them. One final thing. Given how long Buffy and Angel are as a series, would you perhaps get some of your listeners to suggest maybe a top five episodes that you guys could watch over the summer break? Thanks again, guys. Can't wait for your mid-season finale episode, Agent O'Neill." Okay, so that, yes, sir, that is a great moment. That's a great moment.
And it was a moment that caught my attention. I know we didn't talk about it, but again, as you've talked about, you know, in the future when I watch this, I'm going to remember these are just two young kids.
Yeah.
You know, at the least, it was because they have a higher clearance level. You know, maybe Fitzsimmons is level 5 and whoever this guy was level 3. But it definitely showed that there is some respect for the skills that Fitzsimmons brings to the field.
Yeah. And the Angel and Buffy question, that is a good way to handle it, actually. Actually, that's probably a great way to handle it. I did, again, hover for this week. I was looking for something to watch. I just needed to decompress after doing a whole day of writing. And I was hovering over clicking on that pilot episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I can't remember what I watched instead. But
I will commit to doing something with the Whedonverse this summer.
I think it needs to be more than the pilot.
And we've talked about the pilots and the idea of maybe we'll do a pilot and a listener voted show. My only concern is, again, I'm not going to be watching all of Buffy yet. Maybe not for years to come. But if we do that, I am going to just ask, be kind. Can we pick something that I don't have to have seen 3 seasons to understand?
We'll see. But I like this idea a lot, Agent O'Neill. Thank you very much. I like this idea so much, Daniel. So much.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
That I think we might do it.
Well, but have we done it before?
What?
Have we done it before?
Have we done what before?
You know what?
The idea? I think we're going to do the idea.
What you're about to do.
I don't know, but I am starting to keep track. But yes.
We need a record. And if...
People
may need to let us know and remind us what episodes we can go back and look, because we need to know.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. If we double up sometimes, it's okay. But I did just type it in here. I'm going to play the sound effect before I say it. Here we go.
The new prize winner of the day.
That's right, Agent O'Neill. It might be your first. It might be your second.
All we need.
Either way, it's okay. But you are the no prize winner of the day because you have given us at least two episodes for us to record during the summer. And also the possibility of possibly watching some of the best episodes of two, what I've heard to be phenomenal TV series. So thank you, Agent O'Neill. We really appreciate that. And I type it in into my list.
Couldn't happen to a finer agent. It's true. This couldn't happen.
It couldn't because he's the one who did the idea and no one else did. So then how could anyone else? Oh, exactly. I see what you're saying. Exactly. All right. So we have one more email to read. Do you want to read that one? Do you have that one?
And so I'm excited because tonight's feedback is a good show of the sort of feedback we get. We've got a voice that we've heard before and we've heard consistently and we are going to hear from again. I'm because I know Agent O'Neill and his consistency. But here's a new voice, Rico Fernandez.
I think we've heard from him once before, actually.
Oh,
yeah.
I really should pay attention to our show then.
Yeah, he didn't put it in here, but I think he called himself – it was Agent SMX, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. But second email. Anyway.
So Agent Rico Fernandez says, I was just thinking, I know there's no room in Age of Ultron for Coulson – and I agree we need to be introduced to two more heroes and a villain before we can see any kind of reunion. But what about a post-credits scene dealing with Stark's comeback as Iron Man and explaining why he's not going to appear until Avengers 3, where we'll see a big reveal of Coulson and his team? That might have been a bit too detailed. Also, do you think we'll ever see the team appear anywhere else in the MCU? One-shot, cameo in a movie, etc.? And on the flip side, how realistic would it be to get an Avenger to guest star on an episode, and would it have to be several seasons from now? These are things that have entered my head more than once, and I want to know if there is a solid chance for my fanboy fantasy. All right, so I'm going to answer one of them.
Okay, go for it.
An Avenger to guest star. Is Nick Fury an Avenger?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, Avenger to guest star?
I think the biggest possibility would be Chris Evans, Captain America, around the time the movie comes out. That's a possibility. I could see an Ant-Man thing.
I think it's a fun idea, so I want to show up on their set for a day.
Yes.
And the problem is somebody like Star-Lord's not going to say that. And would Ant-Man, the guy who's going to play Ant-Man, say that? No, it's really got to be from the Avengers.
You never know, but...
It's going to be somebody who knows Clark Gregg, to be honest, and wants to hang out with Clark Gregg for a day.
Yeah, although, you know what would be cool is to see Happy Hogan show up.
I would enjoy that.
He's friends with Clark Gregg. But, yeah, the thing with that is definitely... You know, money is one issue, and time, and then actually, you know, working it in so it makes sense from a story perspective is another thing. So, you know, we just have to kind of wait and take it case by case. I think if it happens with anyone, it's going to happen around the time their movie comes out, but who knows? It's a possibility, but I think it's a big possibility.
Though I will say today, the Heroes of New York action figures seemed pretty obscured to me.
They're the same ones from the window. He finally got them. Do we see the team elsewhere in the MCU? I think we could possibly see members of the team in a one shot or members of the team in possibly the Netflix things. We'll see. I don't know.
Okay, here we go. I want you to timestamp this because I don't want Marvel to just rip it off without giving me credit.
Okay.
Agent Carter. Episode, but on the ends, we have an episode in which Fitzsimmons begins to look into a complicated scientific project, then goes back into the past where we find out that Howard and Peggy worked on it, a similar one, and what their solution was. And then we end with Fitzsimmons solving the problem.
That would be cool. That would be cool. But I could see that kind of stuff happening. As for like having Coulson appear in a post-credits thing for Avengers Age of Ultron, I don't know. I mean, we're all talking about these things that we would love to see happen, but they just – I'm pessimistic about it now because of the way things have worked out so far.
It's consultant-like.
Yeah.
But hey, as far as we know, Coulson may not even make it to Age of Ultron, for heaven's sakes.
He could die for real between now and then. That's true. That'd be bad. He came back to life just to die again.
There's part of me that thinks Coulson's not going to be back on the big screen.
Yeah. I'm really pessimistic about this stuff, as much as I would like it to happen. I'm sorry, Agent Rico. I'm just pessimistic about it.
But why be pessimistic? We get to see him every week.
I'm pessimistic about these things happening. I'm not pessimistic about the show. So,
movies happen twice a year.
It's true.
Coulson happens 22 times a year.
Look, Ant-Man.
Who's winning now?
Yeah. Ant-Man and Guardians of the Galaxy both, I think, are going to have tie-ins to S.H.I.E.L.D. Guardians of the Galaxy actually has S.H.I.E.L.D. agents, I believe, cast, but not from our
Ralph.
Team. Yeah. So you could easily bring someone in, but I just don't know if we're going to. I'm going to guess no, though. Sorry. All right. Well, Daniel, do you have any last words then as we wrap up this episode? Do you have anything to say? Words of wisdom? Something. Anything.
Ben?
Yeah, Daniel?
Did I beat Captain America's time?
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening.
So as I've mentioned before, I watch everything but the show on DVR.
Okay.
I cannot wait until the Gifter commercials are done and their superhero ripoff.
Those are from they did that last year. It was even worse last year. Those Gifter commercials were terrible last year. But anyway, continue.
And do we need to look into our option for a podcast on a show called Killer Women?
That won't be us.
Well, and the thing is when I saw that, I mean, I'm sure it's a perfectly fine show, but we get all this criticism for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and I can't help but look at that and say to myself, that show is Walker, Texas Ranger with a female. How ABC's got some problems, and our little show ain't one of them.
It's Cylon Texas Ranger is what it is. Isn't that one of the Cylons from the new Battlestar Galactica?
Well, and I'll argue that the detriments to that commercial is they didn't push that.
Yeah.
I mean, it took me about half for me to even realize that that was her.
Okay. So what was your point again here, though?
I love Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay. Welcome to Level 7 is a proud member of the Noodle Mix Network. Find more of our award-winning and award-nominated podcasts to make you think, laugh, and succeed at noodle.mx. Learn how to podcast, get productive in your personal and professional life, theorize over TV shows like Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, Under the Dome, and of course, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Laugh with our clean comedy, delve into science fiction and philosophy, learn critical thinking from movie reviews, and more at noodle.mx.